We at the First Pentecostal Church of God want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We hope and pray that it encourages you and strengthens you for His service. May God bless you as you listen. Prepare to possess. Have you ever wanted something, and when you got it, you wish you didn't get it? When I was a young kid, I loved chocolate milk. Matter of fact, my mom said when I was in the womb, that's all she craved was chocolate milk. I mean, I'm a chocolate milk fiend. And when I was a kid, my grandmother used to wake up really early in the morning and go hunt for cans every morning. And so I was, as a child, I loved to go hunt for cans. And there ain't nothing wrong with hunting for cans. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was a good business in hunting cans. I'll tell you that right now. But I'd hunt cans with grandma every morning, and we'd go buy this dairy every morning, and the dairy was making fresh donuts. Oh yeah, child and donuts and chocolate milk. Oh yeah. And so every morning I'd say, Grandma, I want a chocolate milk and some donuts. And I think my grandma purposely collect cans to sustain my habit of donuts and chocolate milk. Because every morning I had a donut and a chocolate milk with grandma. And so I would, now this is why I was always in trouble, because I was on a sugar rush all day long. But I went and I would get donuts and chocolate milk. But one morning in particular, I saw not just the small chocolate milk. You know, they put the chocolate milk, it's all small. No, I want the quart. Okay. I want the quart. I don't want the small one, because the milk don't all wash down the donut, okay? I want the quart. And my eyes got fixed on that quart of chocolate milk, and I began to ask Grandma, can I please have the quart of chocolate milk? Grandma, can I please? I still taste it. I don't want to taste the donut after I drink my chocolate milk. I want it all to go down. You know what I'm talking about, amen? And so I convinced Grandma to give me the quart of chocolate milk. And I was so excited as a kid. I got the quart of chocolate milk. I shook it, you know, just like everybody does their chocolate milk. And I opened that up, and I took one big swig of that, and I about vomited. I never had curdled cottage cheese before that day. And it all just came back out. But it's what I wanted. I wanted it. I was coveting that quart of chocolate milk. It was all that I could think about as we walked up the street. It was consumed my thought process of, I've got to have that quart of chocolate. I cannot wait to eat my donut and have like tons of milk to wash it down with. I was excited. But when I got one sip of it, I hated it. You know, that's exactly what the 12 spies encountered. They went over to Egypt's, they went over into Canaan's land, came out of Egypt's bondage. Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan's land. And when they came back, 10 of them, who are worthless to even name, had evil report, and 2 of them had good reports. And the 2 that had good reports was Joshua of Nun and Caleb, the man who was at that time, I believe, was 45 when he went in to spy the land. And those were the only 2 that came back with a positive report about possessing the promise of God. And when they came back, they said, we can't do it. We can't go in there. So in essence, they're saying there's too much in there. God, yeah, God said we could have it, but I don't think God is capable enough to give it to us. Well, that infuriated God. Because did not God bring them through a Red Sea? Did not God provide manna every day and quail when they complained, and water out of a rock? Did not God provide for them? He has proven that He will provide, that He will make a way. So the children of Israel, they didn't want to go in. And so they convinced the people that it was a bad thing. And when they got the rewards of not going in, they didn't like it. They got what they wanted, but they didn't like what they got. Because God said, all your carcasses are going to drop in this desert. And he caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. Caleb sitting on the sideline watching people drop like flies. This person's dead. That person's dead. Sometimes I wonder if Joshua and Caleb would get together and say, man, Aunt Ina's just holding on. I wish she'd just go already. I want to go to the promised land for heaven's sakes. That generation's got to end. Come on. Maybe that might happen. I don't know. Maybe they were sad or heartsick over the fact that the generation Caleb grew up in didn't have enough faith to believe that they could possess what God has given them. But nonetheless, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And Joshua, the book of Joshua, begins with the example that God made of the children of Israel. Because God said to Joshua, Joshua, Moses is dead. The generation is done. Moses is dead. Now go and take what I've given you. What a statement to make. God starts off the whole message to Joshua is, listen, Moses is dead. Now don't forget what they did, Joshua. It was a way for Joshua to remember that he went in there and spied the land and those people brought evil reports. It was a way for Joshua to remember that if he was going to possess it, he was going to have to believe beyond himself. He wasn't going to be able to just say, okay, I don't know if we can do this. Let me consult with people. No, not at all. Matter of fact, when he sent spies into Canaan's land, he only sent two. I think he only sent two because he learned his lesson watching Moses send 12. You got to be careful who you send to do the work of the Lord. Because they always make it harder sometimes. Amen? Here Moses expecting the people to come back and say, Moses, man, this land is great. It's wonderful. It flows with milk and honey. And for the most part, every one of them said that. This land truly is great. Remember, the story is they came back from Canaan and they were carrying bushels of grapes on their shoulders. Two men it took to carry one bushel of grapes. And they said that this land truly does flow with milk and honey. This is a great land. But they also said there are giants in the land. And they also said that they've got walled cities. No doubt they're talking about Jericho. And they said, because of these things, we cannot do it. And when God said to Joshua, my servant Moses is dead, it was a way for Joshua to recall everything that they had lost in the wilderness because of unbelief. So the moment God speaks to Joshua, he is telling Joshua, you must believe that I'm sending you there. And you can't possess God's promises until you know God wants you to have it. You know, I thought for sure God wanted me to have that chocolate milk. Then I tasted it. So I ask you again, you ever got anything you wanted and when you got it, you didn't like it? You see, that's what happens when we're trying to possess the things of God. We sometimes get out of His will. Or jump ahead of, we put the cart before the horse, so to speak. But if we're going to possess God's promises, if we're going to possess Canaan's land, if we're going to possess all that God has for us, victory, love, patience, kindness, goodness, temperance, if we're going to possess these qualities, these traits, it is going to demand in us a belief that God is able to do it and that God can do it in us. The reason why so many people don't possess things from God is because they don't believe that God would give those gifts to them. Maybe their past haunts them. Maybe their friends tell them it's impossible. Maybe they grew up Irish, so they can't ever get rid of their anger. I don't know, but you get what I'm trying to tell you. There's a lot of people that say that they can't possess things, but I want to tell you that you are a child of the Most High God, and if God be for you, then who can be against you? Listen to what God said. When God said, said, remember what Moses did. Remember he's dead when he gave him that. Then he told Joshua, he said, there shall not a man be able to stand before you, verse 5, in all the days of your life. And he said, I will not fail you. Amen. I will not fail you, but I will be with you and I won't forsake you. God said, go take it, and I'll be with you. Man, there's a whole lot of victory in knowing God's with you. Some of you are marching in the blindness of the lack of knowing that God is with you. Some of you are looking at possessing gifts and things of the Spirit, and you don't even realize that God's wanting to give them to you. Amen? Because God does not fail us. He will never fail us. And he will not ruin his perfect track record on little old us. He will always perform. He will always be there. He will never let us down. If God is sending us, then heaven's sakes alive, church, it belongs to us. Nothing can stop us. No man can be against us. Listen, they can take you to court. They can sue you. They can do all they want to do to you. But it still isn't going to stop the plan, the work of God. There's nothing that can stop what the Lord is doing. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for our God? And that is a rhetorical question because every believer should know the answer. Absolutely not. There's not one thing too hard for God. Later on in this book, we're going to talk about God stopping the sun. We're going to talk about how God does miracles. We're going to talk about how God revives the past. We're going to talk about how God erases the past. We're going to talk about victories in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about walls crumbling down. We're going to talk about soldiers being defeated. We're going to talk about the armies of the enemy coming to submit. We're going to talk about these things all through the book of Joshua, because when God is for you, he cannot fail. Now notice this. Notice the call that God says to Joshua in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. He says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9, says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. When God repeats himself, he expects it to sink in. It's almost like God hammering on your head. When God repeats himself, he wants it to sink deep down into our souls that this is the requirement for possessing the land. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why did David go down and kill 200 Philistines when he only needed to kill 100? I'll tell you why. He was strong and courageous. I'll tell you why David could kill a bear and kill a lion, because he's strong and courageous. I'll tell you why Goliath looked like nothing but a pea in front of that little boy named David. I'll tell you why. Because he's strong and he's courageous. Because if God is with you, then nothing, I'm telling you, there's nothing that can stop it. He tells him three times so that he'll get it. Be strong and courageous. But then after he says it each time, he actually says a reason why. The first time he says, be strong and very courageous, because you're going to have to divide the land out. You can't be stingy. How many know it takes strength and courage to not be stingy? And we ain't talking about physical brawn either. We're talking about a mental security in ourselves to say, money ain't nothing. Money ain't nothing. It takes strength and courage to divide out the great land that God is about to give to Joshua. He's not just going in to possess for himself, but he's possessing for others as well. And because God is blessing Joshua to possess it, he's going to have mental strength and mental courage to divide up what God has given. That takes a lot of strength. We have a hard time loaning 10 bucks to people. I know I'm not the only one that's got that problem, right? I hope I'm not the only poor folk in the house, amen? That when someone says, you got 10 bucks? Actually, I really don't. I'm eating the dog food this morning, praise God. After I'm done, me and the dog are sharing, praise God. So we can be stingy sometimes. And God says, Joshua, you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be courageous because I'm really going to bless you. I'm going to give you lands that you're going to have to divide out equally among the tribes of Israel. And you're going to have to be strong and courageous to do it. Listen, you want to know what it takes to pay your tithes? It takes strength and courage. You want to know what it takes to give an offering? It takes strength. It takes courage. And if you're not that type of person, you'll probably not possess what God has for you. Now, he says be strong and courageous, but then in verse 7, he says we need to be strong and very courageous. He doesn't just say, okay, be strong and courageous. He says be very courageous. And when he says this, he says it with the idea that the word of God must be placed in his life properly. Because you read verse 7 and verse 8 when he says, be strong and very courageous to observe, to do my word, he said. Because it takes serious courage to do God's word. Notice that he gave three commands in verse 7. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And in verse 8 he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night. He gives literally three commands in verse 7. He said, one, you're going to need to be very courageous because you need to observe my word. Observe it. You know, a lot of people only get observance of the word of God when they come to church. Matter of fact, sad but true, some of you didn't even pick up your Bible this week. Didn't even dawn on you to bring it this morning because it's not an importance like it should be. Hello? Well, they have a screen and they put it up, so I don't need it in my hands. They've got a screen. Yeah, we got a screen. That's great. You got a screen in your house too? You got a screen when you're on the street? You got a screen when you're at the deli talking to someone about Jesus Christ? You got a screen somewhere else? You need the Word of God in your home just as much as you need it in the house of God. It's got to be observed in your life. And observing it doesn't mean that you just look at it periodically through the week and say, yes, I've seen it. No, observe it. There's a difference between reading God's Word and observing it. Amen? I can read God's word without any problems and read Genesis through Revelation. But when I read to understand and I read to comprehend, then the word of God becomes alive in my mind and in my conscience. And all of a sudden, there's something comes alive inside of me that was not alive at all. I was a sinner when I first read the word of God and I told my grandma I needed some verses so I could convince someone else about something that was just as silly. And my grandma said, well, here are the verses. She was smart. She gave me the verses and she would not read them to me. I told her to read them to me. She said, no, you go and read them yourself. So I picked up the holy book, a sinner. And I opened to Romans chapter 6. You ever read those when you're a sinner? I'll never forget the feeling came over me when I read it. Oh, it was powerful. And I read those words, shall we continue in sin? And understand, I'm a sinner. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. When I read those words, to understand them, my mind was open and my conscience was ready to receive. And when you read to observe the Word of God, it will revolutionize your life. It'll change the way you think. It'll change what you do. But he didn't just say observe it. He said observe to do. Oh. Let me preach a little bit of James' message to you. He don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers also. Amen. The blessing is not in the hearer, it is in the doer. The blessing is not in the person who sits on the pew and listens to the preacher. It's the person who sits on the pew, listens to the preacher, and acts what, and does what the preacher tells him. The word of God tells him to do. Because the blessing is in the doing. It is not in the hearing. And God said to Joshua, you're going to need to be very courageous to observe my word and to do my word. You're going to need courage, brother. And then in verse 8, he says, then after you do it, I want you to meditate on it. I want you to sink it in. And notice this, that the prospering that of wherever we go only comes when we observe, do, and meditate on his word. Look at the latter part of both verses. Verse 7, it says, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever you go. Look at the end of verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Why? Because you have observed, you have done, and you have meditated on my word. And when you have done that, you will be prosperous. Listen, I can curse you all I want. You meditate on his word, you observe his word, you do his word, and my cursings are nothing on your life. Because God, nobody can curse what God has blessed. I wish I had time to preach to you the story of Balaam, who stood up on a mountain being paid to curse the children of Israel. But the children of Israel were blessed by God. And because they were blessed by God, every time Balaam opened his mouth to curse the people of Israel, blessings began to flow out of his mouth. And he didn't know what to do with it. And the king got mad who paid him to curse him. Balaam's donkey even tried to put some sense into the man. It didn't even work. Because you can't curse what God has blessed. When we observe his word, we're going to be blessed no matter what. I don't have to prophesy blessing on you when you do his word. Guess what? You're going to get it. I said, guess what? You're going to get it. I ain't got to prophesy. I ain't got to lay my hands on you and go, oh, I just feel the anointing of the Lord right now. And you're going to be blessed because you have done the word of God. Duh, you are going to be blessed because you did the word of God. Amen? That's almost like telling you something you already know. Doesn't it irritate you when someone tells you what you already know? I got to move on. Now listen, the last one he said about having courage, he said, have I not commanded you? God is literally reaffirming his command. I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid. You got to understand something, they're going up against an enemy. Well fortified, well positioned. They know the land. They know the territory. They've got it all planned out. They know they've got their own battle tactics and their own soldiers. They've got it all figured out. And God tells Joshua, not only are you not going to have to be strong and courageous to divide out the land, to not be stingy, not only are you going to have to be very courageous and strong to obey my word and do my word and meditate on my word, but he said, you're also going to need courage because fear is going to come at you and you're going to have to be strong. Don't think for one second that the soldiers marching on the battlefield didn't get a little shake in their knees as they're marching to a battle. Because every soldier faces that. Don't think Joshua just marched across in the Jordan and went over there and said, here we are, people, are you ready to surrender? And he just marched around and everyone surrendered. No, it wasn't that easy. He needed to be courageous because fear was going to come and try to grip his life. Listen, fear will stop you from going forward. It will disable you from moving. Fear will demobilize you, and it will stop you from moving forward. It'll put fear, such fear in us to where we will scream at the possibility of the chaos instead of marching into it and saying, this is mine. This, I'm going to be victorious. This is mine, and I'm going to possess it. This is mine. When fear gets in there, all it does is put a scream in you and will stop you from going forward. That's why God said you're going to need to be very courageous, Joshua, because fear is going to come. And there's going to come moments where you're going to feel dismayed, and you're going to have to overcome that. Now listen, look at verse 11. He said, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare. Look at your neighbor and say, prepare. Prepare. Prepare you victuals. Now, I had to look up that $50 word because it's been a long time since I heard the word victuals. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what, it was not on my spelling test as a kid. So, victuals is actually food. Pack your stuff. We're moving forward. He said, prepare your food, for within 3 days we are going to pass over Jordan. Pack your stuff. We're moving forward. Pack your stuff. We're going on. Listen, when they marched through and they packed their stuff, they were saying they were done with the past. Amen. Now, I don't want to preach what I'm going to get to later on, but man, I sure like what God does. And so powerful what he is doing that Joshua said, get ready to go. Listen, if you plan on going somewhere, you got to make preparations. I'm always amazed at the people traveling through Kingman because they call me and they tell me they ran out of gas while they were traveling. I'm like, how do you do that? Don't you count the cost before you vacation? Oh, this ain't a vacation. This was a spare moment drive. I'm like, then I still count the cost. And then I try to have the money to go when I go. Amen? And I ain't kidding you. I get probably 3 calls a week of someone driving through this town that run out of gas. We're out of gas. And, you know, I got this big heart. And I go, oh, man, I'm okay, you know. And then I got to realizing these people are conning me. So then I sicked Pastor Allen on them. Because Pastor Allen don't get conned. Amen? He don't get conned. And so I sicked Pastor Allen on him because that was my way of saying, listen, you're going to have to come and talk to my associate pastor, who was a police officer who has seen your kind all through this town for many years and knows if you live here or you don't live here and knows if you're really passing through. There has been literally people who have come to me and said, I need gas money, I'm traveling through. And when Pastor Allen met him, Pastor Allen said, they don't need no gas money. They ain't passing through. That lady's been in jail more times. I put her in jail myself. I'd have gave her gas money. Oh, dear sister, we just want to help you. God expects us to use some wisdom. Amen. Thank God for Pastor Allen who knew everybody. But there's got to be a preparation. People don't prepare themselves before they, if you don't prepare yourselves, you find yourself with nothing. And so the people had to get ready. They had to pack their stuff because in 3 days they're going in. They're going in to possess it. God expects us to make ready to possess. That building up there ain't going to be built because we went out there and thought about it. It isn't going to be built because we went out there and said, you know what, it'd be a great idea if we just built a building out here. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take money out of your pocketbooks. It's going to take money out of my pocketbook. It's going to take time and effort out of every single one of us. Maybe you don't have the physical energy to come and put up a beam or whatever, but maybe you have time to pray that God will help somebody else to come over here and put up a beam for us. Amen. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take dedication. It's going to take preparation. Listen, I'm not going to be able to go out there and wave a magic wand and go, presto, change-o. Here goes a building. Amen. We're going to work like dogs. Some of you women are going to be preparing food for men working all day long. Some no-bake cookies would be nice. Be for preparation. I'm making preparation, brethren. Don't you worry. But you understand what I'm saying. Nothing is done without prep. And if it is done without prep and it comes to pass, man, the Lord really helped you through it. Amen? Guess what? I didn't just get up here and think, you know, I think I'm going to preach out of Joshua chapter 1 today. I think I know exactly what I'm going to say. No. I had to study. I had to prepare. Listen, I've got notes all the way to chapter 11. I've been studying all week long for these messages. So that way I know where I'm going, what I'm saying. Everything takes preparation. If we want what God has for us, then prepare yourself that you might possess. And I could preach forever on the qualities of preparing yourself, or actually the ability of preparing yourself and the cost of preparing yourself. But time fails me. And you know the cost. You hear me. I'm speaking into your spirit right now. You know the cost of the preparation for the gifts of the Spirit of God to be in operation in your life. And that cost God demands. He demands strength and courage in your life to possess it. And it's going to take that in your life to possess it. Now let me end with this thought, and I'm done, I promise. Go to the end of the chapter 1, verse 16. I want you to see something, because Joshua comes to the people because God had given them the land on the other side of the Jordan River. And Joshua comes to the men. He says, listen, men, you guys are already at rest on this end. You guys are already here on this side of Jordan. You've got your homes. You're already settled down. But your men of war need to come with us to possess the land. You can't stay over here because you're already at rest. And listen to what the men respond to him. And listen to what they said. And the men said, and they answered Joshua, verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto your words in all that you commandest us, commanded him, he shall be put to death. Now listen to the last words. Only be strong and of good courage. Now that ain't God. That's a man. The tribes are confirming God's word. Only be strong and courageous. What has Joshua heard three times in the word of the Lord? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. And then at the end, when he's instructing the men on the other side of the Jordan that their soldiers of war are going to have to come into the promised land to help them possess, they say to him, whatever you want us to do, we're going to do it. The only thing we want from you, to Joshua, is to be strong and courageous. Let me tell you that every time God sends us or gives us a purpose, he will confirm it. He will confirm it. Let me share with you one story and then I'm finished. I was 16 and a half years old and God saved me. And I fell in love with Jesus. I mean, I fell in love with Jesus. And no one had to tell me that I needed to pray. I wanted to pray. Nobody had to tell me I needed to read my Bible. I realized that I was ignorant and I needed to read my Bible. And so I did. on my own time. I didn't just go to church and hear it. I read it in the morning, and I prayed in the morning. And then I would seek God's face. And the Spirit of the Lord would come down and touch my heart. And He would come in that room and fill my room with His presence, to the point to where sometimes I couldn't even stand in His presence. I would lay on the ground and speak in an unknown tongue while He was there. There were such times that I had with Him in my younger years when I would just be alone in that room as God was just revealing Himself to me. And I remember one time God's Spirit coming in the room and saying, "Bruce, I have called you. I have chosen you. I want you to preach for me." And I said, "God, I would love to preach for you." I said, "But Lord, I don't know you very well. I'm just a young Christian. How do I know that this is you and not somebody else?" And I'll never forget, I told God, I said, "God, if it's you, I need you to tell my pastor, Bruce, do you feel called to preach? I don't want him to say anything else. I don't want him to say, I felt this or any of that. I just want him to say, Bruce, do you feel called to preach? And I want him to ask me. When he asks me, Lord, then I will preach for you." And I left it alone. Now, let me tell you about my pastor. He's holiness. I had long hair like a hippie. I did. I was a skateboarder. And I looked like one. I wore pants that you could fit all of you in them. I wore goofy shoes and goofy socks, and I looked weird. I didn't dress like a preacher. I didn't wear a tie to Sunday morning service church. I dressed like a skater. And I came into that church building 2 weeks later, and I knew it had to be God, because my pastor was going to say anything to me, because I had long hair, and, well, you don't just ask long-haired hippies to preach. Amen? Especially if you were ever holiness, you know what I'm talking about. How many understand what I'm talking about? You've ever been in that holiness, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you can relate with what I'm saying. 2 weeks later, my pastor calls me in the office, and I think I'm in trouble. I had done forgot about what God had said to me. I completely forgot. And so my pastor calls me in the office. I'm sitting there in his chair, and I'm waiting for my scolding because I thought I did something wrong. And he said, "Bruce, do you feel called to preach?" I stood there and sat there and looked at him. And I was waiting for more, you know. Maybe it wasn't God, you know. Maybe somebody told him that prayer in that closet that I was praying. I don't know. And I looked at him and I began to cry. And I said, "Yes, I feel called to preach." I went back home. Wait a minute. I went back home and I went up in that room. And I raised my hands to him and I said, "God, I'm unworthy to preach your word. But whatever you command me, that I will do." And I laid myself as he began to train me in that room. I preached some of the greatest messages I ever preached in my bedroom, when God was talking to me and confirming his word in me. God will never leave you without the confirmation that he has spoken. When he says it, he will confirm it by his actions. Some of you are the result of the call that God has placed in my life. And had I not obeyed it, I don't think I ever would have learned what God was trying to teach me. Think about it, church. Is God calling you? Is he asking you to possess? Is he asking you to come to him? Because I know that he did for me, and I know that he doesn't just do it for me. Amen. He doesn't just do it for me. He does it for everybody.